Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Friday. We are absolutely loaded. This is the Herd. Live in L.A., wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Blazing 5. Love my picks. Love, love, love my Blazing 5 picks this week. Some fascinating games. I'm going with some favorites this week. Last week I went with dogs, and they were all dogs. Joy Taylor is joining me. We had the World Series 2 nights ago. We had an NFL game that we didn't know about but ended up being wildly entertaining.
It was a great game, actually, which you pretty much called.
I said it would be closer than people think.
So not to get caught up in that, not the hype, but I think it delivered. It was very fun.
San Francisco had a bunch of dominating wins. It's the NFL. Go on the road. Come back to Earth. Let me start with this. I started, I've been doing syndicated radio now for about 15 years. I was a local guy, right? And about 14, 15, 16 years ago, I started talking about something on the air. And nobody'd ever talked about it. And some people said it was ridiculous and absurd. And people wrote articles about it. And I said, you ever notice that there's a lot of quarterbacks in the history of football? A lot of the best quarterbacks are really handsome. Like, would walk into a room full of men and you'd be like, oh, that guy's really handsome. You know, there's obviously some Brett Favre guys out there, but like there's quarterback position more than any other position. And I started getting calls and back then emails from NFL guys saying, hey, I like your show. You talk a lot of football and there's something we call quarterback face. And it is a real thing. We're looking for confidence. Yes, an arm. Yes, you started for 3 years in college. Yes, all the requisite skills. NFL scouts call it quarterback face, and Jimmy G has the league's best quarterback face. My wife doesn't watch a lot of sports. She goes, boy, San Francisco's good. Who's their quarterback? And I showed her a picture of Jimmy G on my phone. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. He looks like a quarterback. And I said, yes, it's called quarterback face, and it matters. And he reminds me of a young Tom Brady, who we said, well, he's got a coach. Brady's got Belichick and a defense and a running game. But there was an it quality to Tom Brady. And that it to me was always confidence. And I know it sounds absurd, but he was so great on third down last night. And third down in the NFL for a quarterback is not only the money down, it's the confidence down. Garoppolo is great on third down. He plays cocky. He goes for it. And I know it sounds absurd, but I started talking about this years ago. And if you look like Jimmy G and walked into rooms from 15 years old until 28 years old, I don't even have to ask Joy. I can figure it out. You'd feel pretty darn good about yourself. You'd turn heads. And look at baseball. Look how many great players go into hitting slumps. They don't forget how to hit. They lose their confidence. Look how many great golfers get what they call the yips. They don't forget how to chip and putt. They lose their confidence. Derek Jeter used to always say, I don't want a lot of things negatively swimming in my head during a baseball season. I want to go to the plate and feel good about the game and feel good about myself. It's easy to feel good about yourself when you look like Jimmy G. And last night on third down, I'm watching him and I'm like, God, he plays. I mean, the guy's only started like 18 games. He plays with so much confidence on third down, 86% completion percentage, 153 passer rating, and Kyle Shanahan talked about his third down after the game.
And that's usually where quarterbacks earn their money. I mean, you can do a lot of things on first and second down, and you know, you can mix in run or pass and kind of even out the game. But on third down, that pass rush is coming. They always have their best coverages and blitz called. And you need a good guy back there. He was on a night throwing. He got to the right spots. And when it wasn't there, he made plays with his legs.
You know, it's funny about this topic. Colin, you're really silly. And this is. But when the scout started calling me and saying, no, it's a real thing. You go back to the Dallas Cowboys. If you look at their franchise quarterbacks, it's, you know, Aikman and Staubach and Dak and the square jaw and the Tony Romo. It's like, And then the Niners' all-time quarterbacks, Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Garoppolo, Drew Bledsoe, and Tom Brady. And I grew up in Seattle. All the girls love Jim Zorn, and then it's Russell Wilson. There's a confidence thing when you're a handsome guy. It's called quarterback face. You walk into a room, high school, college, you walk in and guys are like, that's the guy. On the recess, on the playground in seventh grade, who gets the ball? The popular boy. Who's popular on the playground? The girls think he's cute. The guys think he's cool. It's called quarterback face. And I told my wife last night, her initial reaction was, oh my God, he looks like a quarterback. And I'm like, it's funny how that works. You think it's nuts. Now, I'm not saying it's always works. And I'm not saying if you don't have perfect facial symmetry, you can't be great. I don't need to mention names. But it is funny. Favre into Rodgers into Montana into Brady into Russell Wilson. I watched Garoppolo last night. He plays with so much confidence for a guy that hadn't started very much. And much like Brady, when Brady came into the NFL, all we talked about was his coach, just like Kyle Shanahan, his defense, just like the Niners. And well, I mean, they run the ball at will, just like the Niners. And it's like, no. There's an it quality. And by the way, you got to have by and large, you want to be about 6'2 in the NFL. Exceptions, obviously. You want to have the requisite mobility arm, obviously. You want to be a 2 to 3 year starter in college, obviously. I'm not saying it's the number one box you check. But there is a box for quarterbacks, the it box, the confidence box. And I asked Jimmy Johnson once. I said, what's leadership? And Jimmy Johnson, one of the great coaches ever, goes, I don't really know what it is. Yeah, I think it's a lot of confidence among other guys. I can't really explain it, but, you know, do you have the confidence? You know, have you succeeded at something a lot in life? And I'm like, and Jimmy Johnson, I said, with Troy Aikman, he's like, Troy just was it. There's an it. And I think the it part of it is quarterback face. That dude, he plays confident. I would too. I mean, that razor stubble, that's after shaving. I mean, it's absurd. All right, let me shift to this. There is a player who's very talented. He has been in and out of rehab, struggled, personal struggles, Josh Gordon. Very talented. New England basically letting him go. And so now they waited a while. He'll go what they call like a waiver wire list, meaning, you know, bad teams get the first chance at Josh Gordon. So there's a team in the NFL that may not get a shot at him, but there's a team in the NFL I would absolutely go get him. Hey, he's imperfect. He's had relapses. There's a story in New England. His work ethic tailed off. If I'm the New Orleans Saints, you have to go get Josh Gordon. Because I got news for you. If you're the Saints, the Dallas Cowboys give you trouble defensively because you have no vertical passing threat. You have none, and you have no mobility at quarterback. So the New Orleans Saints are not getting past San Francisco's defense. Because to beat San Francisco's defense, there's only two ways to do it. Arizona showed it last night. You got to beat them over the top, and you have to have a quarterback that's mobile. So Green Bay could beat San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers can move, and they can beat you over the top. New Orleans cannot beat San Francisco. Dallas has shown you. Dallas, last two times they played the Saints, beat us over the top. We're going to go into the box, put a pass rush on Drew Brees, who's not very mobile, and stop Alvin Kamara. Saints can't score. Now, the Saints have a great quarterback, a great defense, and a great coach, and I'm not saying San Francisco would blow them out, but the Saints' culture, like New England's, can certainly handle a player who's had some personal issues. Josh has. Don't know him, very talented, but you know, he's a guy that struggles with some things that football coaches don't love. But if you look at New England, what was the hole of their team receiver? They went out and got one at the trading deadline. San Francisco, what was the hole in their game? A veteran receiver, Emmanuel Sanders, they went and got one. What is the hole in New Orleans' game? No vertical passing threat. Michael Thomas averages 109 yards a game. Their second best receiver, Ted Ginn, averages less than 40. They don't have a number two receiver. And they don't have any deep threat, nor do they have a quarterback who's mobile. You're not getting through San Francisco without one of those two. You got to beat him over the top, or you got to beat him with your legs at quarterback. And Kyler Murray could do both. especially the latter. He can move, buy time, outrun their defensive ends. New Orleans, this is absolutely worth the risk. You have the culture to withstand it, and he gives you a dimension you desperately need. Don't kid yourself. I mean, you know right now in the NFC, I like a lot of teams in the NFC. Three of them look different. San Francisco, Green Bay, and New Orleans. They all look different. New Orleans is going to have to face either both or one of those two. And if you face San Francisco with Breeze's lack of mobility and no deep threat, you're not moving the football. You are not moving the football. I think Josh Gordon to the Saints makes a ton of sense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I'm watching Kyler Murray last night. He's having a great year, by the way. He's fun as hell to watch. He's having a terrific year. You know, the Russell Wilson comp, I always said that this is the closest to Russell Wilson, and they're both baseball players. He throws a beautiful ball. Tight spiral. You know, I always say about Trubisky, his ball dies. Kyler's ball just elevates. He throws a much better ball than the other young quarterbacks. I think he's more accurate. I like his throwing motion better than Sam Darnold. I like him athletically more than Baker Mayfield. I think he throws a better ball than Lamar Jackson. I think he throws a much better ball than Mitch Trubisky. He's small. And, you know, it's hard for me to get over that because he just doesn't even look like any quarterback I've ever seen. But he had a great night last night, 71% completion percentage, passer rating of 131 against the Niners. And he's had a tremendous year. I mean, he throws a beautiful football. But here's what I worry about. NFL organizations, it's kind of crazy. Some just draft certain positions well. Steelers wide receivers and linebackers. Whatever it is, it's a certain scout in their organization. Steelers draft wide receivers and linebackers. Chicago drafts linebackers well. Green Bay drafts offensive linemen very, very well. And organizations similarly, even good organizations, don't draft certain positions well. New England can't draft a wide receiver to save their life. Chicago historically and Miami struggle with a quarterback position. And frankly, Arizona is lousy for whatever reason at drafting offensive linemen. They just quit doing it about 4 years ago. They're bad at it, like Belichick. Now, the problem is you need offensive linemen. But they started going inside the league to get offensive linemen. They don't do it well. And I'm watching last night. Kyler Murray has been sacked. Now, think about this. Think how athletic he is. And I think his size helps him in terms of scrambling because sometimes he kind of gets lost behind those offensive linemen. You can't see him. He'd been sacked 29 times. That's with his mobility, with his size, and the fact that he's got a coach that's very much about getting rid of the ball quickly. The rest of these guys that lead the NFL in sacks, Flacco's not mobile, Dalton's not mobile, Jameis Winston has had, for most of his career, really bad O-lines. I don't know if Arizona can fix this. And it sounds strange. You would think, you know, a team drafts every position equally. They don't. Pittsburgh never misses on wide receivers. Chicago, historically, they can't get quarterback right. Maybe it's a lack of this scout, a preponderance of this scout. Maybe there's, you know, I've talked to NFL teams about this. Sometimes you just put your best region, your best scout becomes your southern region, and the south gives you great linebackers and defensive linemen, and you just have a bevy of them, and you draft it well, and you go back to it. I mean, certainly New England is great drafting defensive backs, struggles with wide receivers. But I think Kyler Murray is good for the league. I think he's incredibly accurate. There's a lot of Russell Wilson here, a lot of Russell Wilson. Both are baseball guys. Unlike Russell, he was drafted number one. He'll have ultimate support for the first 3 to 4 years, and I think it's going to work. But I do worry. Nothing, look around this league, nothing punctures a promising quarterback like an O-line. Andrew Luck retired. Darnold and Baker Mayfield are running for their lives. Deshaun Watson had to take a bus to a game last year. Jared Goff's first year with a bad O-line was a disaster. Second and third year, they upgrade Andrew Whitworth. He's pretty good. Derek Carr is as good as his offensive line. Good O-line, he can be fantastic. Bad O-line, he looks like a CFL quarterback. So I worry about it. I don't know if Arizona's got the personnel people to solve their offensive line issue, because they do it lousy, and it looks like they've almost quit trying.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
On Halloween last night, Kevin Clark for The Ringer went as a brilliant, funny sports writer. Oh, it wasn't much of a stretch. He's one of my favorite guests. We don't get him often. Let's bring him on from The Ringer, Kevin Clark. NFL writer, Wall Street Journal. How are you?
I'm good, Colin. How are you?
I am great. It's good to see you. You know, you took a lot of heat.
I did.
You come on this show, and you were very critical of Trubisky.
Yep.
Chicago tends to be extremely vocal. That's why we love Chicago as a city and a sports city.
Yep.
And last time you were with us, what did you say about Deshaun and Trubisky?
I said if Deshaun Watson becomes Michael Jordan, Mitch Trubisky is Sam Bowie. Now, at the time, that was not a ludicrous take. Then Trubisky makes the playoffs. Chicago spent 4 months reminding me of this take. And now I'd, you know, like to remind Chicago of that take.
Yes.
That's all.
By the way, Deshaun, we said yesterday if he in Halloween he would go as Harry Potter. Deshaun has become the wizard. He makes losses into wins. Chicago, Jay Glazer came on this week and said, listen, that you drafted him this high.
Yep.
You just have to go with it. I said at the trading deadline, I'd have made a move for Teddy Bridgewater. But Glazer's reasoning is, when you draft a guy this high, the wheels have to come off completely. Do you agree with that? Not Jay, but the reasoning behind it. You just play the string out this year with Trubisky.
I think the disaster that was the end of the game last week shows that there needs to be a total overhaul of whatever's happening, okay? I think if Matt Nagy spent 8 months trying to fix the kicker situation and you don't trust your offense to get a couple more yards for the kicker, the problem was never the kicker. The problem was the offense and the trust you have in them. I think Matt Nagy's a very, very good coach.
So do I.
I just think that right now, I think you have to move on from Trubisky, quite frankly, or at least bring in a really good veteran who's going to push him next year to where you have the option to go with another guy. I don't think Chase Daniel's that guy for next training camp.
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of breakups coming up. You can feel like Cam in Carolina. We saw Eli benched.
Yep.
Andy Dalton, Mariota, Jameis Winston. These are Jameis Winston and the Bucs are in therapy and counseling, but the breakup's coming. You can sense like 6-7 years, and there's a lot of different reasons. Winston and Eli, too many picks. Dalton, Mariota, lower ceiling. Cam inconsistent. But when you look at the young, so we have this movement away from guys who aren't winning enough into young guys, and I like a lot of the young guys.
Me too.
But I worried with Baker and Sam Darnold. I said, are they talented enough to overcome the dysfunction of the organization? I thought Adam Gase was the right hire. Oh. He's to blame, right?
Yes. You know, I saw a stat the other day. Baker Mayfield's quarterback rating against pressure is 38. Sam Darnold's is 39, right above that. Those are two quarterbacks who don't this year deal well with pressure in their face.
And they're getting a lot of it.
And they're getting a lot of it at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, at this point, Adam Gase's weird press conference where he was looking around, that's the high point at this point. You know, there was a stat that the Football Perspective put out last week that was Adam Gase is now more likely to lose by double digits in his career than win a game in his coaching career.
I mean, Joy and I said this, Kevin. His optics are terrible.
Yep.
He instills no confidence.
Yep.
I talked to an NFL coach 2 days ago, not a head coach, an assistant. He said, great play caller. And he can design his way to completions, but he's not liked by a lot of people. That's a thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you look at him in a press conference setting, he doesn't look like he instills much joy or motivation in his troops, quite frankly. So I think that if you're going to be an offensive guru, you have to be an offensive guru. You can't be 32nd in scoring. You can't have Sam Darnold say he's seeing ghosts. And I understand that was, you know, I think a lot of quarterbacks have said they were seeing ghosts. It just wasn't mic'd up.
Right.
But I think just the optics of the situation are so bad. If you are running a bad offense as the offensive guru, what is it you do exactly? Because Greg Williams has it going on defense, okay? And so your one job is to improve Sam Darnold, and he looks broken right now.
He
looks broken.
And that's with Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder. They've got some components here. It should be better.
They weren't tanking. They were not tanking. This is not you know, the Miami Dolphins here. They should not be this bad.
Yes.
And they are. And that's an Adam Gase.
Kevin Clark, one of my favorite NFL guys. He writes for The Ringer, formerly of The Wall Street Journal. You move to Baker Mayfield, you know, and it's well documented. There's a certain personality trait I like. I've always used the story. When Russell Wilson broke into the league, I worked for another company out east. And his rookie camp, I would follow him as a Seahawk fan growing up. I would follow him on, you know, social media, Twitter. And at 4:45 in the morning, he would be tweeting, "On my way to look at tape." And I'm thinking, it's June. And I liked the guy. Baker, I struggle with his temperament. Grabbing stuff, throwing balls, police video when he did nothing wrong. And I watched these interviews, and I, you know, I could say, I told you, but is it all Baker? Should we blame John Dorsey? It's easy for me to say I won on this Baker thing. He's a mess. But I don't care about that. What I care about is they should be good. They have players. In your opinion, what at the fabric of it, at the base of it, what's the problem? It can't all be Baker.
I think installing a new coaching staff is really hard now, especially when you have a lot of new faces around them. So you try to integrate Odell into this offense. Baker Mayfield, you know, he started the second half of last year, but he's still a young quarterback. You bring in a guy, Freddie Kitchens, who was never even a coordinator before last year, and make him the head coach of one of the most dynamic rosters on paper in football. That's a lot of pressure. And especially when you don't get full training camps like you used to 10, 15 years ago.
That's right.
There's no more two-a-days. It is really hard to get up to speed now in the NFL.
But Cliff Kingsbury looks like he's done it.
Exactly. And so what's the problem there? I think Freddie Kitchens may not be up to it. I think that's what I'm looking at right now, is that if you just look at Baker's regression, and like we said, he can't, you know, he's turning the ball over way too much. I mean, listen, there are zero teams in the last 7 years turned the ball over three straight times until the Browns last week. Okay. That's not, I know the Patriots defense is amazing, but you can't turn the ball over three straight times, including one like Baker was basically handing the ball off to Lawrence Guy.
You're making a very good point here. You don't have two-a-days. You don't have the camps.
Yeah.
So for a rookie quarterback, at least Cliff Kingsbury had been a head coach.
Yep.
There are certain jobs that you have to do it to learn it. Like, I mean, again, you can be a pilot and work your way up to bigger planes, but like in the NFL, there is a Grand Canyon gap from coordinator to head coach. Half fail. Like, it's so I think to your point, Freddie's just, he's over his head a little.
Yeah, I think I always thought they were going to start slow because of that. I didn't know it would be this slow, where the quarterback through half the season looks broken. I still think that Baker Mayfield is a really good player who's going to have a good career ahead of him. But whatever's happening this year, I mean, I think there's probably something instructive where I know there was a quarterback injury last year, but we hyped up the 49ers so much last year, and they were a year away. Even the defense, they were a year away. And I think the Browns, maybe we hype up teams 1 year too early in this league.
Yes.
Instead of 1 year too late. Maybe next year is the year we should pinpoint for the Browns. I don't know. I mean, just the way that teams explode onto the scene now, it seems like the timing might be right for 2020.
Well,
for the
Browns. To your point, Freddie Kitchens is a never been a coordinator.
Yeah.
Out of the gate, he faces a competent Mike Vrabel, Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Vic Fangio actually feels fair. That's a fair fight, at least. Let's move to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I said last week I missed watching Baltimore play. They're fascinating.
Yeah.
You were early on Lamar Jackson. I always said I worried about third down. When you can run for a first down on third down in high school, Pop Warner High School, college, you will. It's not that he can't complete passes. His mindset, Mike Vick told me this. He goes, third and seven, I ran my whole life. Why wouldn't I in the NFL? But he's sitting in the pocket, mostly. Do they have a shot this weekend?
Well, I think they do. You know, they're scoring on over 50% of their drives. They're the only team in the NFL
that
is scoring
crazy
points. The Patriots are giving up points on 7% of their drives. This is what you want if you're a football fan. If there was an alien coming down and you said, explain football to me, you would show them this game as far as the chess match, the strategy, what's going to happen. I mean, I can't wait to see what Belichick throws at him. I've always said this about Mahomes too. A young quarterback doesn't become a veteran quarterback in this league until Bill Belichick is game plan for them. Because he's going to show them things they've never seen in their entire lives. You know, I remember when Mahomes went to New England last year, he threw that weird interception almost out of the gate because they were throwing so many confusing looks at him. I think you're going to see that with Lamar. Lamar's averaging, I think, 14 yards per scramble when he's going up against man defense. Okay.
Wow.
Bill Belichick's going to know this. And so he's going to throw different things. I mean, I think Seattle, you know, they have an athletic defense. They have people like Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner couldn't contain Lamar Jackson. I talked to a couple coordinators for a story earlier this season about how to contain Lamar, and they were saying, look, don't put a linebacker or a safety on him. He's faster than the cornerbacks.
Yes.
And so if you're going to try to use a defense you used on somebody else, you're going to fail. And I think Belichick is the king of not using defenses he's used for somebody else. He builds the game plan. He will have something for Lamar, but Lamar, remember, the Patriots defense, probably the best tackling defense in the NFL. Lamar is probably the hardest guy to tackle right now in the NFL. This is the matchup you want if you're a football fan.
One of my favorite NFL writers, totally tied in, Kevin Clark, The Ringer, used to be at the Wall Street Journal, which had an underrated sports section, now at The Ringer. All right, Kevin Clark, this is going to sound dumb. I started talking about it 15 years ago when I was just becoming an American icon. I called it quarterback face. All these quarterbacks were handsome guys, and I said, it's so weird. I grew up with Jim Zorn. Everybody had a crush on him in Seattle. Then a Russell Wilson. And then Dallas has, you know, Staubach and the Romo and the Dak and the Aikman. Niners have Steve Young, Montana, Garoppolo. And I showed my wife a picture. She's like, oh, God, he looks like a quarterback. And I'm like, it's called quarterback face. Scouts use it. And it's a third down. There's an it quality. And I've asked Jimmy Johnson, what's leadership? And he goes, I don't know. Aikman walked in the room and you're like, yeah, he's got it. He goes, I don't know. And it's Garoppolo's confidence. It's something, right?
I think confidence has something to do with it. I don't know if looks does necessarily, but I think the ability to, I mean, quarterback is a confidence position.
It is.
You have to commit. You have to make throws that you don't feel comfortable making. I mean, if you are a weak-minded quarterback, you will fail very, very quickly.
This is the Kirk Cousins thing. Yeah. People said, when Kirk Cousins said, it's all my fault, people said, no, don't say that. Quarterbacks don't say that.
Right. They live like when Steve Jobs used to say, a reality distortion bubble, right? That's what quarterbacks have to live in. They have to basically fake their way through everything. Okay, you throw four interceptions, fine. We're going to win on Sunday. The quarterback is the only position that has to operate like that. Everybody else can sort of do their jobs and stay in their own thing. You become essentially the de facto mayor of your city when you're the quarterback of your football team. You have to be the spokesperson. You have to be an optimist. And I think that confidence is... Look, I don't want to go, you know, Moneyball 15 years ago said, you know, we're not selling jeans here. So the actual how somebody looks doesn't necessarily matter as much as how they feel. And I think maybe that's tied into a little bit of the quarterback.
By the way, Howie Long always jokes, you cannot have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same room. To your point, he's like, there is a alpha to it. And I just think he plays with incredible confidence on third down, which is a money down and a confidence down. Okay, Kyler Murray, this may be crazy. Loved watching him.
Yep.
There are organizations in this league that do not draft certain positions well. Arizona stinks at the offensive line. Theirs is terrible. He's been sacked 29 times. With his mobility, am I nuts on this? Is this an unsolvable issue? I've seen organizations that can't draft units, right?
Yeah, it's yes. I mean, this is a problem. And when Kyler was coming into the league, there were scouts and coaches who told me they hadn't seen anybody better at avoiding getting hit in the college level than Kyler Murray. I mean, this is a guy, there's a reason he's under 6 feet tall and has been able to stay as healthy as he has, been able to be as good as he has. It's because he knows how to take a hit, when to fall down before a hit, when to run out of bounds. We've seen that. He's run out of bounds to a fault to at points this season.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that what Kyler Murray's been able to do has been really incredible. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's made some really cool adjustments, playing less four receiver sets as the season goes on, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's coached every week. Cliff Kingsbury has every week, Kevin, it's a different game plan.
Getting better. Yep.
Every week.
Yep. And I was in Cincinnati, and I saw a guy named Rodney Anderson, who was a running back for both Kyler and Baker. And I went up to him, and I said, you know, are Baker and Kyler's success, is that going to lead to more short quarterbacks? And he said, no. He said, Baker and Kyler are two of the most special players who've ever played the game. And they're not replicable. It's not like they're going to start some trend of small quarterbacks.
Right.
They're just going to start the trend of Baker and Kyler being special. And I know maybe you disagree on the Baker part, but I mean, I just think their ability to play in the way, a style that nobody else is playing because of their size in the modern game and make it work is amazing. And what Kyler's been able to do this half season has been really impressive.
It has. Finally, I'm shocked by the Raiders. Noise, drama, 10 years out of the league, hires Mike Mayock, been out of the league. They're a real team. They've played a brutally tough schedule. They've been all over the world. And I like them this weekend, and I think they have shocked me. They have been shockingly competitive. I watched them go to Indianapolis, and I'm like, oh, Indy's good.
Yep.
Indy's great at home. What do you make of the Raiders?
Yeah, could have won last week, too. You know, one of my best friends is a Raiders fan, and he's really plugged in, and he said at the beginning of this, when I was making fun of the Grudenhire, he said, listen, who launched Sean McVay? Who launched this whole offensive revolution 15 years ago? It was John Gruden. And I think there's probably something to that. John Gruden, as a personnel czar, has hurt himself.
Yes.
As a coach, he's helping himself. This is why you make that hire, because he's a good coach. Maybe if Mayock were in at the beginning and it's somebody that maybe he would listen to a little bit more, then maybe this situation doesn't get to the point where he's rid himself of all this talent. But I think that, you know, having three first-round picks last year was a positive. I think he's in a place now where he can build. It looks like he likes Derek Carr at this point, which we were touch and go on at this point last year. So I think that this is John Gruden, the coach, and we're seeing now he's much better than John Gruden, the organizational leader.
By the way, and I'm sure John has had some influence on draft picks, his offensive draft picks and his offensive free agent moves, now he's overspent for a couple of them, but they're working, Kevin. The offensive side of the ball, I think he does know personnel a little bit. I like their draft picks offensively.
And Josh Jacobs has been terrific. Rookie of the year at this point.
Is he a rookie of the year at this point?
I mean, who's been better? Kyler? Possibly?
I mean, that's it.
Josh Jacobs has been really good offensively. I had picked Hardman from Kansas City because I thought he would just get more targets with Mahomes and all that, and let's put that aside. I think it's Jacobs right now.
I think you're right. Hey, good stuff. Kevin Clark, The Ringer. Read his stuff. Terrific stuff. He's all over the internet, and we're out of time. Good luck to you. I love having you on the show. You're always welcome.
Anytime. What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, that's me. 3 and Out Podcast, that's my show. Go subscribe if you like football. That's all I talk. Coming up on this show, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan moved to 8-0, and Carson Palmer joins me in retirement, talking about the NFL, his career, what he sees now, offensive coordinators that he likes in the league for over an hour. Again, John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe.
In the NFL right now, there are some divisions we feel very strongly about. I feel very strongly that New England's going to win their division. I feel very strongly that San Francisco is going to win their division. I feel very strongly New Orleans is going to win their division. I feel very strongly Green Bay and Minnesota will both make the playoffs. There is a division in the NFL, though, that I think could flip. And I like Baltimore a lot, and Cleveland is a circus. But if you start looking at what's going to happen here, keep your eye on Cleveland. Cleveland now is going to face, in the next 8 weeks, a series of backup quarterbacks. This defensive line for Cleveland is the strength of the team. They're going to face a backup with Denver, a Josh Allen less than 20 starts, a backup in Pittsburgh, a backup in Miami, a backup in Pittsburgh, a backup in Cincinnati, a rookie in Kyle Allen, young quarterback Lamar, and a rookie with Cincinnati. That defensive line is going to have a heyday. Baker doesn't have to be great, and they get Kareem Hunt. Conversely, and they're 2-5 right now, right? Conversely, Baltimore, the schedule gets much tougher. And we know this to be true. The NFL has decided post-Thanksgiving, not in September and October. I like Baltimore, but if you look at the next games coming up, they're facing very, very interesting defensive fronts. New England's defense, then Houston. And, you know, so just think about this. They go up against Brady and the Deshaun Watson and Jared Goff and then Jimmy G. Baker beat him the first time. And there's a lot of defenses in here. I think Baltimore is a little overvalued. I think Cleveland is a little undervalued. And I think there's a real possibility here that 5-2 Baltimore and 2-5 Cleveland in a month are tied, and in 8 weeks, it comes down to that Baltimore game and Cleveland game in Cleveland. I think the division will come down to that game. I really, really do. It looks crazy today. But most of these divisions, I have a real strong feeling about New England winning theirs, the Saints winning theirs. I think Kansas City, when Mahomes come back, they're going to go on a nice streak and win theirs. But I think this division could be the flip division, where what you see is not what you're going to get. And you know, I love to bang on Cleveland, and you know how much I like Lamar and Baltimore. But there's a little fool's gold now with Baltimore, and Cleveland is not this bad. They're just simply not.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rich Ohrenberger was drafted by the New England Patriots. I love bringing him on our show. He does the Loose Cannons down in San Diego. Very popular show. He's on Fox Sports Radio on the weekend. Former NFL offensive lineman. So here goes New England into a very big game week. It's the big game. You've been in these weeks. But this is a little different because of Lamar Jackson, isn't it?
Oh, it's completely different because of Lamar Jackson. I'll start from the start. Come November, we got the speech every year about how the season changes. You have the speech about the preseason. You have the speech about how the regular season, everything ramps up. And then come November, when everybody's starting to think about their Thanksgiving plans, the NFL football season ramps up again, and Bill was very, very sensitive to this. So it didn't matter who the opponent was. Once you hit November, this is the point in the season where you really have to turn it on, and then obviously the postseason after that. Lamar Jackson is a problem. And what I mean that is, I mean, think about the military schools in college. It's a problem when you have to plan for one of these triple option offenses. You have 1 week. They're so unique.
Yeah.
You can't do this ahead of time. You have other opponents. Those are other potential losses on your schedule before you reach this triple option offense. So you only have a week to prepare, and it's so different. And that's what the Baltimore Ravens have right now with Lamar Jackson. It is so unique. It is so different from any other offense you're going to see on your schedule. And only having a week to prepare is such a liability for a defense. And so really what it comes down to is you have to stop Baltimore at what they do the best and hope that he doesn't make deep throws, sideline throws, and leave the rest up to his arm.
Yeah, take Mark Ingram out and cross your fingers. They got big tight ends, and they hit on some of those. But I do believe that's kind of the game. Stop Mark and just say, listen, if Lamar beats us on the edge running, there's nothing we can do about it. Because, by the way, it's very interesting. Think about this. In the NFC, most of the good teams have guys who can run but don't. Breeze, Garoppolo, Dak. The AFC, you're going to have to face either Mahomes who moves, Lamar who moves, Josh Allen who moves, Gardner Minshew who moves. All the quarterbacks run. So this is your first real test. Oh, this is what it's like, guys, for the rest of the season. We're going to have to beat guys like this because the AFC outside of Brady, Rich, it's all moving guys.
Oh, I know. And the really funny thing is I do agree this is a big first test, but there was a pre-exam in the Bills. And that was a close game, you'll remember, because Josh Allen, while I think he's better suited to be an H-back or a tight end in an offense, he's not as good of a quarterback, and I mean a passer, as some of these other guys you just mentioned. It's still a dual threat quarterback. He can still hurt you downfield improvising, and he's a good enough athlete and big and strong enough to hold up against a rush and make you pay. So they had a pre-exam, but Lamar Jackson, this is a Ferrari right now they're going against, and he's got the keys to the kingdom in Baltimore.
Let's go to something that in this week, Joy and I were struck by how many, and I've said this about my White House and my pro teams, leaks tell me people are covering their butt, that whether you like a president or a team, no leaks means everybody's on the same page. When you get leaks politically or leaks in a sports franchise, Clippers, by the way, get no leaks. Credit Chris Paul, no leaks. Acquired Paul George, no leaks. Got Kawhi, no leaks. Lakers, every 15 minutes there's a leak. That means Magic, Palinka, house divided. Jets, rumors everywhere. Why doesn't New England signs Mohamed Sanu? Crickets. What's the secret for Bill?
So this is just a rumor, but I think it makes sense because if you want to find a rat, you just basically make a, it's so simple. You take a sheet of paper and you write down all of your potential leaks names. And then you feed each rat, not rat, right? But each assistant or whoever in your organization, a little piece of information. And whatever hits the news, you know who's responsible for it. It's as easy as just making a list. I told this guy this. I told, you know, Coach A, we're trading Edelman. I told Coach B, we're trading Brady. I told Coach C, we're targeting Mohamed Sanu. And guess what? News breaks 2 days later. You know exactly who to come to. You know exactly who to snuff out after the leak comes out.
And that was the rumor in New England?
That was the rumor. I don't know. I can't substantiate it. But you can't substantiate a lot because, again, things don't get out of it.
It's the way it works. Let's talk about OBJ came out and supported his quarterback this week. I'm not a Baker guy. I think he's talented. He's not my personality prototype to be a quarterback. What did you make of him and the Baker and the Tony Grossi, the reporter, and the going back and forth? And what did you make all that stuff?
I didn't like it. I mean, it's unfortunate reality of playing quarterback in this league. You are going to be held to a different standard than the rest of the players. And I know he is who he is. And I know he's an emotional guy. And it's passionate, you know, when it fits or whatever he wrote in the follow-up tweet. But the deal is this. I don't want to walk into surgery with a guy who's losing his mind in crisis. I want my surgeon to have a deft hand. I want the guy who's heading up the operation to see composed. When these firefighters who are fighting wildfires head into danger, they're not losing their minds. They have a plan. They're working their plan. They're staying on a script. The most composed person wins in crisis. Right now, the Browns are facing crisis, and he seems erratic. It's not what I want to see in leadership, and it's really what's been presented over the course of this season so far.
Yeah, I don't blame him for all of it, though. I do think Freddie Kitchens, I had an assistant coach in the NFL tell me this week, situationally, when you watch him on film, they're just calling plays. It's not really head coaching. Freddie Kitchens is just calling plays. They look lost situationally. And if you look at their penalties, you can make the argument that what the coach told me is largely what we're seeing is they got a coach that's bailing water. He's just not ready to be a head coach. He's a coach, but, you know, you've been in this league. Half the coordinators, he was never a coordinator. Half the coordinators, they whiff at this thing.
No question. I mean, it's a very difficult job to do. Here's Freddie Kitchens, a guy who I like, a guy who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and he did something at the podium when he was asked about situational awareness and things at the end of one of the games earlier this season. It resulted in a loss, and you could argue there were moments where the head coaching decisions gave the game away. And he said, I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm learning on the run, something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing for him, but you cannot hear that. Go back to the surgeon. Do you want somebody post-op to be telling you about all their mistakes? I mean, if I'm going to have a shoulder surgery, do I want a guy going, yeah, I'll tell you what, sort of screwed up in a couple of spots. We'll see. No, I mean, you need to be certain. Look, a head coach, like a politician, you mentioned a White House, whatever. You want a crafted orator. You want someone who, even when it's all going wrong, makes you feel right. And Freddie Kitchens needs to learn that in a hurry.
Two quarterbacks we watched last night. Let's start with Kyler Murray. That's interesting, right? He throws, baseball background, he throws a beautiful ball.
He
may throw the tightest spiral in the league. What do you make of him?
I really like him. I like him a lot. I liked him pre-draft. I didn't like some of the press that he did. It seemed like he was still making the decision all the way up until the decision whether or not he wanted to play football. But it's clear he wants to be out there. And he's dangerous in all the ways you want a quarterback to be. You know, it's funny. We're just talking about Lamar Jackson. I see a lot of the same traits. Now, I think Kyler Murray throws a better football.
Yes, he does.
And he's a more accurate passer. But a dual threat quarterback in this league is a soothing balm for everything. It's like the vitamin C of the NFL. It's a cure-all. If you want to get good fast, draft you a dual-threat quarterback.
Rich, I always say, they all work. They just don't last. Mobile quarterbacks all work. The really good ones. RG3 just worked for a year.
Right.
Mike Vick worked for four.
Yep.
But the idea they don't work, oh, no, they do, can work for a long time. Then you get beat up.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So a dual threat quarterback is leaving his prime at 30. A pocket passer is entering his prime at 30.
Great point.
So when Tom Brady, if you look at all of his Pro Bowls, The majority of them are post 30 because you really find out who you are. You mature in offense. And of course, he stayed in the same offense with only two coordinators, Billy O'Brien and Josh McDaniels, during his tenure there in New England. He was able to mature and become the player of prominence that we see him today. A lot of that has been done post 30. You could say the same thing about Drew Brees. But a lot of these mobile quarterbacks, they're leaving their prime at 30.
Yeah, they've gotten dinged.
Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz is heading in that direction. We'll see how long it lasts with Russell Wilson, but some of the best may already be behind him.
Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm just joking all day, quarterback face. My wife said, now that looks like a franchise quarterback guy. But boy, he plays with confidence, doesn't he?
Oh, he certainly does. He certainly does. And I'll tell you, the knock on him right now is too many turnovers. And a lot of people are referring to him as a game manager. And I'll get caught up in that. And people will think I'm being negative about Jimmy Garoppolo. I need to see if he's an elite quarterback. But what I certainly know is he has elite football intelligence. He's not going to give away games. He's a winner. It's a short sample size, but he's a winner. I really love his accuracy. I love his command of the huddle. I love how these guys fight for him. I love when they're down in the red zone, how confident you feel about the 49ers' chances of scoring, whether it's on the ground or through the air.
Yeah, no. He plays with John was saying this, John Goulet in our pre-meeting. He plays cocky on third down.
Yes.
He's like, no, it's my team. All right. And it's like Derek Jeter used to always say, baseball's long, you go into slumps. I don't want a lot of negative people around me. I want to be optimistic going to the plate. I don't want negative thoughts. A-Rod was an overthinker.
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to have a therapist. I want to talk. Jeter's like, I want to hit the ball hard. Let's go have a steak. You know, I mean, it's like there is something to be said about confidence in big moments. Jimmy G plays confident football.
Again, you talked about composure earlier and turning to the calm, deft hand in the room when crisis comes. I mean, short sample size with Baker Mayfield as well. Who do you want on third and long, Garoppolo or Mayfield right now? Who do you want in the red zone when you absolutely have to have it, Garoppolo or Mayfield? You may argue that Mayfield may have had more success in situations. I don't have the stats in front of me. But I look at Garoppolo and I see a steady, deft hand, somebody who seems like he's got the leadership I need in crisis. And when you have that confidence and then you back it up with good play and a winning record like they have in San Francisco right now, it bodes so well for their future. And Kyle Shanahan, he is coaching his tail off right now.
Yeah, finally, I was totally wrong on this. Raiders are a fun watch. Start looking at their schedule. It's the toughest in the league. They had to go to London Bears, at Indy, KC, at Green Bay, at Houston. Outside of Green Bay, they're in all these games. This could have just unraveled teams. They're buying into Gruden. Offensively, they've got a group of guys.
I think they're well coached. I think they built this team right. They drafted offensive linemen. They paid for offensive linemen. They have a quarterback who, if you surround him with more talent on the edges, could end up being elite in this league. You have a potential all-pro player in Josh Jacobs. Good job on that Mac trade, making that number one pick, or I should say first-round pick.
He's been great.
He's been great.
And by the way, that Darren Waller, they got it tight end from Baltimore. Does he lead the NFL in receptions? He did a couple of weeks ago. He's been a monster.
I mean, and that's what good offenses do with maybe marginal players or players that sort of are unknown. They turn them into stars. It happens in New England all the time. George Kittle with the 49ers in a great offense is a star. Cooper Kupp, who knows what he would be if he was playing for the Bengals. But in this Rams offense,
star.
We believe he's a star. So, yeah, it's building in the right direction. They've had some really tough losses handed to them. If they improve this defense, look out. The Raiders, when they head to Vegas, they may have a squad.